In order to keep bringing you guys tons of free content, we work with brand partners who you'll hear from in this episode, including an advertisement from Zopa Bank. Welcome back to the Talk 20s podcast. You may know today's guests from hit shows such as Love Island, Strictly Come Dancing, I'm a Celebrity and Hollyoaks. I'm of course talking about AJ and Curtis Pritchard. Before we dive into hearing all about this brother duo, including behind the scenes gossip you've not heard before, a quick reminder to hit that subscribe or follow button. Let's get on with the show. Curtis, AJ, welcome to Talk 20s podcast.
No, thank you very much. I'm excited to be here. I love the studio. It's brilliant.
Actually, it's pretty cool there, I've got to say.
I'm so excited to have you guys here. We always kickstart the podcast by getting you to look back through your phones and tell us what you were doing 365 days ago. And I want to see stuff that you've not posted on social media. So get your phones out, please.
All of a sudden, my heart has started beating very fast.
Wait, I'm not going to see what you post.
Have you told each other what you're going to show?
No.
Okay,
really.
Even better.
I don't know if I haven't posted this photo.
If it's Curtis, he hasn't posted it because Curtis doesn't post anything.
I'm quite bad on social media, I ain't gonna lie. But I'm gonna show you mine. But this is a year ago, actually.
Okay.
Two days off, but yeah. Are you ready?
Yes.
You ready for this?
No. Am I? Oh my God, you're running a race.
Yes. See, but look at the stature.
What is your phone doing in your pocket, can I just say?
That's not my phone. No, that is my phone.
Guys, it's definitely
my phone. I needed to check my steps and stuff. So,
but it does weirdly look like not in the right place. We'll put it on screen, guys, for everyone so you can see what I mean about the phone. But you do look very sweaty.
Yes, that's the end of a half marathon. So I mean, the finish line is about 2 meters in front of me. I'm doing my last little sprint, my last little push just towards the end of it.
And was that your first half marathon?
No, that was my third half marathon.
Okay, so you're like a well-seasoned runner then?
We will say yes, even though I only did it in 2 hours 17, which isn't that good.
I don't know if that's a good time or not.
Kurt prepares so well for something that he injures himself before he even starts the race.
Shut up, AJ.
So yeah. Kurt realised that he's very injured the day before and then thought, let's try and run it.
Right, so I really prepared, I trained fully for it. I was doing like 13 miles constantly, was ready to set a nice time.
Okay.
And then in the last week, you're meant to chill out before doing the run. Take it a bit easy, just drop down your training slightly. Mm-hmm. So I did. And then I went on a run 3 days before the half marathon, slow run. I did 3 miles and my hips seized up. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Actually, I do know why. I just moved into my place and I was sleeping on an airbed and the airbed was awful. Okay. So my hips were all out of line. My body was out of line. Went on a run, hips seized up in 3 miles in. And then I realized, oh God, this isn't good. Like I was struggling to walk.
Yeah.
And I was doing it for charity, the half marathon.
Oh,
I had all
worse.
Of these things on there. And I didn't want to not do it because I was going to let like the Mind charity down, all these other things. We got money going on it and stuff. So I had to do it, force myself to do it. And I'm still injured from it, actually, to be fair.
Oh my God, you're still injured.
Yeah, like I've just done the half marathon again. The weekend just gone.
Rewind. You're injured now because you didn't train for this run and decided to do the same run now.
Maybe, possibly, AJ.
Okay.
It's a recurring injury, we'll say. Okay. Yes, yeah.
And where was this?
London Landmark Halves.
Because that's like quite a big, like I can't, what's that monument that's in the background?
You're asking the wrong guy,
I don't know, where was the finish line?
It was just running towards kind of Trafalgar Square.
Okay. I feel like I know the back of that horse's butt, basically.
I feel like that's towards the end
because I was sprinting there.
I think you saw a camera and thought, I'm going to make it look like I'm running really quick. But honestly, it took me 2.5 hours. And if I was running at that pace, I'd have done it 1 hour and 30 minutes.
You know what though? That's so true. If I see a camera and if I slow down, I will full on speed up for the
to
camera.
Make it look like you're looking. Yeah. Even though they're not even filming, they're probably just taking a snapshot. No, it doesn't really matter.
They're probably not even taking a snapshot of me either, to be fair.
That's amazing. What about you, AJ?
I've actually got the photo pre-run when Curtis is looking really happy and really good and we're actually getting we've got text coming through. This is pre-run. This is excitement. She's blind. Yes, this is myself, my girlfriend and our cousin and we are really confident, ready to run the race.
And me.
Oh yeah.
And Curtis.
Yeah, well we can see it's you, Curtis. Yeah. And Curtis, they're really confident right now because this run was, to be honest, we always do it every single year and it's an amazing memory.
Yeah.
It's for Mind Charity and it's one of the kind of things that we always just love to do it, even though it's so much pain. And once I've done this amount of running, I don't run for the rest of the year. I'm done. This
and
is
who's
my run
faster
done.
Out of you two?
AJ. Mm. I will say. Right, AJ has always been a faster runner than me. I was trying to find another little picture
it's
then
not
to
exactly
see if
a sprint.
I had something
it's a bit of a marathon
that
bit.
I haven't posted or anything that I thought could be quite cool. No, we won't post that picture. I look
what's,
absolutely
what
awful.
What is that photo?
Curtis, show me that straight
no,
away.
No, no,
what
no,
is
no.
the picture?
No, nothing.
What
nothing.
Is it of?
I have to have clothes on this podcast, you see.
Oh, Christ. No, I don't want to see that. Thank you. So you lads then, like, what were you two like growing up? Because now we know you for both being in the public eye, but like before you guys obviously like blew up and got famous and stuff, what was it actually like growing up as brothers?
Adrenaline junkies. Okay. I'd say that's what we were when we were kids. Our dad was an ex-world champion dancer. So that's where our dancing came from in our history of stuff. But before that, he didn't want us to dance. So he was like, go do extreme sports, do some go-karting, quad biking, motorbiking,
do
mountain
whatever you
biking.
Want, just really?
Don't yeah.
dance.
So that was our childhood and we were very competitive against each other.
But we always
are you still
together.
Adrenaline junkies though? Because you've just told me that your girlfriend's bought you a bungee jump and you're not too happy about it.
I just don't like free falling.
Okay.
No, you've got scared of heights the older you've got, I've noticed. That's the thing.
Yeah, heights are not my forte. They're not my friend, I feel like. Anything else, adrenaline going fast, really pushing yourself to the extreme.
I love roller coasters.
Roller
coasters
are fine. Yeah, so you're strapped in. You're pretty solid. You're not exactly free falling like.
Although I do think
okay,
I'm going to die
there.
Every time I go on, but I kind of like.
Alton Towers
know.
Or Thorpe Park?
Alton Towers all day.
Yes.
All day. Yes.
All day.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, we've always had the opportunity to do what we want. And I think for us, we've kind of, this is who we are. And I think the irony of what you kind of said before we started the podcast was, we've just had a coffee. We've been speaking to each other for an hour. Yeah. Like, is this you? Is this, or are you going to suddenly switch and become someone else on camera?
Because we have had guests on the Talk 20s podcast before that genuinely changed their whole personality as soon as the camera switched on. So we'll grab a coffee beforehand. We'll just like chat, like make sure everyone's here on time and chill and everything. And then the cameras get switched on and we just joke like...
I could keep an accent up, I would have so tried to have done it. But
literally
I just
done
can't.
The whole podcast in Irish. Like, this is me. Like, but people do literally have an on-screen persona.
And I think the priority for us has always just been, we are who we are. Mm-hmm. We've always kind of been grounded people and we appreciate everything. We're kind of born in Stoke-on-Trent. We kind of moved to the kind of Stoke-on-Trent, slightly the nicer part towards the other side of the M6. But at the end of the day... For us, it's always about what we do, giving out. We just want to be happy, kind people. Like, we appreciate life.
Give
we appreciate 100%. Every single opportunity we've got. And even to, like, if we say yes to a job, whether it be a paid job or a free job or for charity, we give it 1,000% because that's the way we've always been brought up. And that's kind of, they're our values and that's kind of how we approach life.
I remember my mum always saying, I used to work at Kennels actually, and we used to walk about 100 dogs, 200 dogs
oh
a day
God,
sometimes.
Oh, that'd be my dream.
Oh, dogs are my favourite animals. Yeah. Loved it. It was amazing. And mum came to do it one day with me because somebody else couldn't work. And she was walking these dogs so fast. We got all of the dogs done. Then she went on to clean and then she went on to somewhere else. And I was like, Mum, what's going on? She goes, if you're going to do a job, Curtis, do it and continue doing it because there's always something that can be done. Find it, keep working, keep pushing forward. Mm-hmm. That always stuck with me, that did, for some reason, just forever.
Because you guys do a lot. Like, there's loads that you have done. Like, AJ, I was looking at your list of shows that you've been on TV and it was ridiculous. Like, reeling some of them off, like, obviously, you've done Strictly, you've done I'm a Celeb, you've done Hunted Stand Up for Cancer. You've done RuPaul's Drag Race, been a choreo on there.
Yeah, choreographed the final, didn't we?
Choreographed the final. Celebrity SAS.
Yeah, love that one.
That was a good one to be
honest. Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah, that was fun as well. Yeah.
I remember watching you in it was a live semi-final. Did I watch on that one?
Yeah, you watched that one, live semi-final.
Yeah. How old were you then?
I was 18 then.
18, and was that your first thing that you did?
Wait, were you 18?
Britain's Got Talent was a really weird scenario. Yeah, I was 18.
I thought you were a bit younger, to be fair.
I think I was 18 for that. Because it was kind of like, okay, we're dancing, we're traveling the world, competing, we're at the best for our age at that time. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, I want to go on TV. And I was thinking about, like, what could we do? And I was like, okay, Britain's Got Talent, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Get a phone call the next day. Would you like to go to Manchester and perform in front of Simon on Saturday? And I was like, this is so weird. I was like, yes. I was like, we haven't got a routine, haven't got anything. We're like, we'll create something.
What?
You said it
literally
nice
day
guy,
before, but
you'd
literally have that thought the day before you got the call.
And we even had the conversation out loud, family
oh
sat down
God.
In the living room. And it was like, you know when things
you
just
You sure that wasn't your mum just like
together?
Testing the water, like, does he even want to do TV? We maybe need to ask him before he gets that call. Yeah. Like, okay, it's safe to call. Like,
it's kind of like,
call now.
it's a really weird one when it comes down to TV side, because I always said, I'll never do TV. I'm always going to be a true competitor, travel the world, dance, compete, teach, and earn my living that way. And then can the small opportunities like Britain's Got Talent allow you to kind of dip your toe in it and kind of see like, this is the opportunity. This is kind of like the cameras, the lights, you kind of, you know that it's there. But at the end of the day, the one thing that's always been important to us is that we have a profession that backs us up. So wherever we go all over the world, like beyond language barrier, we can teach dance. Like you're learning to dance right now.
I'm learning to dance, everyone.
It's great. And it's so easy to kind of really adapt to move forward. But yeah, Britain's Got Talent was the first one. And I absolutely loved it. Minus, I did actually think I tore my cartilage in the semi-final. If you watch the video back, my knee kind of snaps like in and out of place because this gorgeous singer before had dry ice on the my plastic floor.
Situation.
And I thought, holy shit, this is going to be very slippy. Did the dance. You can see me sliding all over
who
the place. Chloe Hewitt at the time.
Okay.
And
but
my
in rehearsals,
knee just
they didn't have
tore
the dry
out.
Ice, did they?
Well, they did for the girl, but live on the night, we always
faster,
prepare for everything.
Wasn't it?
It wasn't that. I was supposed to be first. Then they said, oh, can you go second? Can you go third? Can you go fourth? It got to the point that I was then close the show live on the night. But you have to prepare for these things. Like nothing's ever as it seems.
Did a good performance though.
I don't remember any of it because Chloe elbowed me in the head in the rehearsal. I had a right, if you could see on the makeup covering up, I don't remember any of that day.
Nothing.
I have
it's
to watch it back
blackout.
On YouTube to remember it.
And 10 years later, he's rocking in the corner of his room.
I did like ballet and tap and jazz, but I don't really understand like the ballroom dancing world. I only know it now because I'm obviously learning as an adult. But like, explain to me about competitions and how that
so
works.
So the quickest way to explain it is within ballroom and then Latin, the two different kind of professions in their aspect, you'd have five dancers in ballroom and five dancers in Latin.
Okay.
So then you would go to a competition at the weekend and say there's like a 20 couples or 100 couples, it would get 100 knocked down to towards like 80, then to 48, then to 12, and then to 6.
And they literally just pick you off the floor going,
you have a number on your back. Yeah, okay. You're on there with your partner. You have about 12 to 18 people on the floor at once. And then they'll go around.
You do your rounds.
You.
It's knockout straight away. And then you get to the final. And then in the final, you get marked first to 6. So first to win, 6 to be last.
So sometimes actually in them earlier heats and rounds, it wouldn't always be the best dancers actually. It's just who gets spotted first sometimes
until you become later
on and then they really
so
look
what's
at the
tactics?
Dancing.
Because obviously you guys must have been good at it to get on Strictly. Like well, how do you do it well?
There's a lot of politics.
There is a lot of politics, but at the end of the day, you need to make sure you're always like within a large room, dancing in the center of the floor, simple things, making sure your choreography allows you to transfer around the room so you can be seen by multiple judges. Like there's not just the simplicity of dance in a corner, do a great job. No, if you're not seen, you're not going to get marked. Yeah. That's kind of one of the biggest things.
Do you think
things.
It's also on your appearance and how you look as well? 100%.
Your 1,000%. Outfit, your appearance, the way you present, that even simply like walking onto the floor, making sure you've done like even a lap of the floor before you've even got into position to start your dance can like eye contact. Things that like, if you're nervous, like you're looking at the floor, like you're not going to have any confidence. Whereas if you stare the judge in the face, like, they know they've seen you and you've seen them.
We always got told, once you are stood on the side of that floor, it's go time. You're in the best posture, best position, ready to rock and roll straight away there and then. And as soon as you walk on, you have that confidence. To the moment that you leave the floor and go behind a closed door, then you can relax and be yourself. That's
how did you guys get into it then? Because you did say when you were younger, like you were adrenaline junkies. You didn't do dancing. Yeah. Like, at what age did you start and where did you pick all this up? Because you must have picked it up quite fast if you weren't doing it.
I was going on to 11,
12.
You were 12, yeah.
The thing was that year, as you do as a child, you go, I want to go on TV. I was like, well, okay. Well, mum's like, well, how? Well, I was like, well, the only thing we kind of thought we could do, well, we'll do some dancing.
And because your dad did, right?
Yeah, and there was a small TV show that kind of came towards the dance school, Baby Ballroom, that said, we need some little dancers. They're going to dance, learn some routines, and they'll go on TV. And we're like, perfect. Okay. We'll take that.
we
did awful, crying, didn't get any recalls. And thankfully, it never made air. Like it's in the basement of the BBC somewhere, never to be seen again.
Hidden away, hopefully deleted.
For that footage, BBC.
And then mum and dad were like, this is great. They're upset. They're not going to do it. And the next day we were like, no, we love it. We want to get better. And then from that process was literally every single day, like for us, the best way to describe it is our house is actually our dance school. So we live above the dance school which dad teaches in. So there's excuse. Like a lot of the time within dancing and any sport, it's the amount of hours you put in. Like if you can train every single day as many hours as possible, you are going to increase, you can get better faster. than your competitors, especially when most of our competitors are kind of foreigners that have got an unlimited bank balance and they've been training since the age of two. So therefore, like, you're like, okay, I'm going to have to get 10 years on my competitor within 2 years to even get to where I want to be by the age of 18, which was kind of the goal, being number one in the world.
You loved having the studio there, didn't you?
Oh, I absolutely loved it. I could train until my feet were bleeding. At the beginning, we start off with just a couple of hours each night. Yeah. But by the time you get to like you're 18 and you're properly wanting to train, you are training 10 hours a day. Like you are, and you do a competition every single weekend. Wow. And the one thing was, you can lose a competition if someone's better than you. We can accept that. But you can never lose a competition if you're physically not the fittest. If you can't keep going, like that's on you. That's just, it's embarrassing. Like at the end of the day. So that was one of our things, was like, we will always be the fittest people turning up to the competition. Okay. We'd never die.
If this is the first time you're tuning into the Talk 20s podcast, allow us to introduce you to our headline sponsors, Zopa Bank, home of the Smart Saver account. If you're a long-term fan of the podcast, you'll already know about Zopa's Smart Saver, which lets you save into personalized pots and boost your savings in exchange for a notice period to access your funds. The longest notice period is 95 days and offers the highest interest rates. To find out more about Zopa's Smart Saver, download the Zopa app. We need to tell you that you need to save a minimum of £1 and the interest is paid monthly and is subject to variation. On with the show. So you're in Bella Italia and you hadn't won this competition.
Yes, yes. I wasn't happy. And then there was some producer that came to us and talked, and I wasn't really taking notice. But anyway, I got told that was the head producers of Strictly and they want me to go on Strictly. Didn't know anything really about me, didn't know my nationality, if I was good, bad, didn't really know anything. I just obviously looked good. And they're like, we want him, he's small. We need him for a small partner.
Ah.
I said no to them. Once,
you said no?
Twice.
To Strictly? Yeah.
I said couple no times he did, yeah.
Two times.
Why did you say no to Strictly?
It just wasn't in my mentality of where I wanted to be.
But you were a ballroom dancer.
Yes, but I wanted to compete.
Surely that's everyone's like epitome.
In terms of TV programs, this is the pinnacle of dance. In terms of actual competing and being the best in the world, it's nowhere near the pinnacle of dance.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's just a straightforward.
And then therefore, one of the ladies that sponsored us at the time, because financially we couldn't afford to kind of travel the world and really spend enough money to get to where we wanted to be. So we had a sponsor and she passed away very, very suddenly due to bowel cancer. And the one thing that she always said was just take every single opportunity. Like there's going to be crossroads, but take the opportunity, because what's the worst that can happen at the end of the day? Like I'm 20 years old. I say yes, and I don't like it. I can go back to competing, but you can't ever go the opposite way. Like I say yes, I love it, I thrive. Like, you're going to regret that for the rest of your life. So that was actually the reason why I chose Strictly. But this was all very last minute, because they were like, no, we really want you. We really want you. And it was like a couple of weeks before the show started. And I was like, okay, why not? I remember I was cutting the lawn. Mum was like, here's a phone call. I was like, literally cutting the lawn. And I was like, the one stipulation was, well, if you want me, you take my dance partner with me as well. And they were like, I could hear that they're obviously at a big board meeting. I didn't realize this at the time of a lot of people.
They were like, wait, do we do this? Do we not?
Yeah, and it was like, and they were like, okay.
And who was your dance partner?
My dance partner was Chloe Hewitt at the time.
Okay,
And then she got on Strictly at the same time as me. Yeah. And we were the first kind of couple to go on together. And it was fantastic. And I never looked back. Like it was brilliant. I absolutely loved it.
AJ had like one dance partner through his entire career.
Which was very rare. Because most people are like, okay.
And who was your first celebrity partner?
My first celebrity was Claudia Fragopani.
Okay,
very small, so they needed somebody
to... Is that why they wanted you then?
Yes.
Like for Claudia?
Yeah.
And then Saffron as well? Who was the other ones you went with? How long were you on there for?
I did 4 years on Strictly.
Serial semi-finalist.
Yeah.
That's how he is.
Always kept out of that final slightly. So it was Claudia Fragopani was year one.
Yeah.
Then it was Molly King year two.
Yeah.
Year three was Lauren Steadman. So she's a Paralympian. Mm-hmm. And then year four was Saffron Barker, the YouTuber. So, four very successful years.
With Claudia, you should have made the final, to be fair.
Yeah, bloody should have been in the final.
Possibly Molly as well. You could have made the final as well, actually.
But with Claudia,
AJ, who was the best out of those?
I was lucky, and I honestly can say this. I had four very nice people.
Someone's media trained.
Imagine being having to work with somebody 12 hours a day for 5 months.
I know it's like asking to choose your children, like
you
your favorite
want
child.
Like Saffron was hilarious. The fourth year, like herself, her family. I'd be like, Saffron, okay, we're in London now. Where are your shoes? She'd go in Brighton. I'd be like, okay, well, we kind of need them now. She'll go, oh, I'll call my mum, won't I? and then we get to, she needs to upload a YouTube video, obviously, right now. She'll be like, oh, where's your charger? Because your laptop's obviously got no charge because you never have a charger. And she goes, oh, it's at home, isn't it?
That's we'll like us in the studio today. We'll You'll to notice I don't home. Even have a Talk 20s mic today because you've only brought two because we forgot we had two guests.
Yeah, and someone we've also, lost their job this morning.
Yeah, we also forgot our Riviera drinks, iced tea. They're our sponsors.
Apparently
we
very, do love very
them,
nice.
Which
yeah.
are amazing. And AJ and Curtis won't have a chance
That's
to try
we're
them.
Bit, we're a bit parched.
But we're
right
going to add in an advert here that talks about our amazing iced tea. If you want to know what we're drinking here in the Talk 20 studio, then let me tell you because you're going to want to try it. Riviera Iced Tea is the newest sponsor of the Talk 20s podcast. It's low calorie, natural, vegan, and gluten free. I'm absolutely obsessed with iced tea. I've just been laughing here about how obsessed I am with iced tea with our producer. It's my favorite drink in the whole wide world, no exaggeration. And the peach iced tea from Riviera is genuinely the best I've ever tasted. So if you want to fill your fridge with something super refreshing, head to rivieraicetea.com or check out their Instagram at Riviera Iced Tea. We'll send you guys some in the post.
That's so a smooth try segue them. To add yeah. that in there. I like that.
But no, definitely, like your partners, when you're working with someone, you just want to be smiling ear to it. And with Saffron, I was laughing 24/7 and yeah. we still got the job done. So that was the main thing.
So Saffron was your favorite.
She was hilarious. Yeah, she was.
We got it out of him. We got it out of him. So why did you end up leaving Strictly? Because that is the question. If you type into Google,
yes.
AJ Pritchard, the first question is, why did AJ leave Strictly?
I think for me, it's you can't do everything. And I think it's a really hard thing to say out loud sometimes because for me, I'm a professional dancer and I love it. I love everything about Strictly. I love what it stands for and I love my time on the show. But at the end of the day, you can't grow as a person if you do something for the rest of your life. You have to set new challenges for yourselves. Maybe a bad time to have chose to leave considering COVID hit like immediately yeah. afterwards. But you can't prepare for that sort of thing. And for me, growing as a person, like I've done so many things right now and I'm in so many more fortunate positions and rooms and creating business opportunities that I would not physically be able to do, let alone if I was doing that show, just sheer time. And I think it's something important, whereas people always feel like this is everything. This is your whole life. Whereas at the end of the day, life is so much bigger than one opportunity. Like if you don't have your eyes wide open to traveling, to being able to do that. Like I worked 12 hours a day, every single day of that 6 months of Strictly. Then you do the pantomime I'd do for 3 or 4 weeks. Then I'd do an arena tour for 6 weeks. Then I'd do my own tour for a handful of weeks. Then I'd go on to pros
I'm
tour
exhausted
for
and I only do an hour
18
a week
weeks.
Of
and then
dancing,
I'd try and get a whole day and then I'd start Strictly again. So imagine that for 4 years straight. And you're like, okay, I think I need to maybe widen my horizon.
It becomes a box, doesn't it? If you don't break free and do something different.
I think it's also very tiring. Like ballroom dancing, there's just a lot of exercise involved.
Gosh, yeah.
Like it is, it looks maybe easy from the outside, but like it is difficult.
They
like,
say it's good for you, but we've both had operations on our legs because of dancing.
Yeah, just a couple of keyhole surgeries and some things like that. But no, dancing is a fantastic sport. Physically and mentally, definitely.
Mentally,
and Strictly is, I think, the only TV show, but maybe Danced on Ice, you could say the same aspect, where you actually get given a professional and are taught hands-on how to become a kind of towards a professional within a skill. And that's just magical for the teacher and the student at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And throughout this whole time of AJ being on Strictly, Curtis, what were you doing at this time? You were still dancing?
I was on Dancing with the Stars in Ireland. So the Irish version of Strictly Come Dancing. Okay. So he was doing that and I was on there. But for the first, was it the last part? Then I went on to Love Island. Was that your last time?
Wait. You can't miss out the best part of this story.
Well, what do you mean? My career and my history.
Curtis has got the best career in any Dancing with Stars all over the world. And it's franchised out to like 60 or 70 nations or something ridiculous.
Right, here it is. So I did Dancing with Stars in Ireland. The Irish version of Strictly, I did 3 seasons. So the first season, I had a model and we got eliminated week one.
Bam! Ow! Yeah,
and yes, it was.
It's sad, wasn't it?
Second year, I had...
Was she bad?
No, she wasn't that bad. I just don't think people tend to... The Irish, my favourite country in the world, Dublin. Love it to bits. But the Irish, I sometimes... I was told if there is an attractive person, sometimes they don't go with that person.
Okay.
And she was a model, so perhaps that was mm-hmm. a situation. The next person was a business lady, Nora Casey. Mm-hmm. Great, great woman. Real, real strong, independent lady. Had mm-hmm. loads going on. Got eliminated week two.
Bam! Yes. Straight out.
And then the third year came back. Well, actually, yeah. we got jumped in a nightclub.
Yeah, we got banged. Yeah.
Yeah, we ended up getting in a bad situation. Yeah. I was in hospital, had to have an operation on my left knee. Face was all smashed up. So they brought in a surrogate partner to dance with my celeb.
Okay.
They got eliminated week one. So then I came back
week two.
So
even Ghost of You didn't make it past week one.
I came back week two and then that was it. I had to do nothing. So my pay to work was fantastic.
Because yeah, pay per steps. You were winning. Yeah.
God.
That's crazy.
Got paid unbelievable for the work I did. So
find a positive in there somehow.
I know, yeah.
That is absolutely crazy. So talk to me a little bit then, because you did just mention it. Like, what happened when you mentioned that you got assaulted?
Mm.
That kind of is a little bit of a catalyst to a bit of this story, because you did allude to it earlier.
I would say, I don't know if this is the truth or not, but I would say, right, Love Island, they always tend to take somebody with a famous brother. So example, my year was myself,
or a relative
or something. Sorry, I didn't mean brother. Like a relative, yeah.
yeah.
So for me, it was Tommy Fury. He had his brother, Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
Me, I had you, AJ.
Yeah.
So I think that helped. But because we got jumped, we were in the front page of the papers, we got put onto the news everywhere.
Mm.
And I think that also got me spotted by them as well and realised, okay, now he's got a little bit of interaction into the public straight away. He's got a famous brother. Mm-hmm. He isn't too bad looking. There's attention around him. Mm-hmm. Let's bring him on Love Island.
And so what were your thoughts about going on Love Island?
Nine-week
holiday in the sun.
Free holiday.
I'm single.
Free food. Son,
I just come out of a long-term relationship as well. So I'd been with somebody for about 2.5, going on 3 years, and we just split up and stuff about 5-6 months beforehand. So I was like, I'm single.
Mm-hmm.
It's something different than the dancing. I'm going in the sun. I'll probably last 2 weeks in there. That's it. Let's go on and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I had the best time ever. Yeah, a roller coaster of a ride.
But the reason why you did so good from the outside is like you I'd never watched the show before.
Didn't
so you had no
about.
Opinions on yeah. it and you
really?
Had no idea of the premise of how the show works.
I told them I'd
what
watched it.
What season was this? Remind
season
me.
5.
I think everyone says that it was the best season as well.
It was the most viewed season.
You were just like the catalyst for every single debate and problem. Like your opinion was just like, you said it so blunt in between things that it was like, oh no, you can see it unfolding happening in your eyes.
I like to talk to people, and if somebody wants some advice or wants help, I will happily help people.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I seem to be mature in there. I am not mature at all, I'll tell you, but...
Do you still like to make people's coffee in the morning?
I do make coffee, actually, yeah.
Because you did go pretty viral for that,
I've
right?
I've got a great coffee machine at home, and it is my baby, my pride and joy. I love it.
Do people still ask you about that?
They do. That's what people come up to me on the street. They'll either say, I came back here to tell you I love you, what Amy said to me.
Or,
will you make us a coffee? Or can you say, I want to get up and make everyone a coffee in the morning?
No, I do think like you will be remembered like forever on that season. And
I need to bring my own coffee brand out or something.
You do, something. Yeah. Like,
Kurt's
I
want
to be the person that makes everyone coffee in the morning.
Kurt's coffee. I just want to get up and make your coffee.
Yeah. But you did mention, obviously, on Dancing with the Stars in Ireland that you were paired with an Irish model to begin with. You did kind of have a similar experience on Love Island as well with another very famous Irish model. Smooth move there, Gabs.
She's like,
oh my God, I actually forgot who you were even on about.
You were back, sorry?
It took me a second.
I was actually thinking, who the hell are you on
Amy's
about?
Are you
Irish,
is she?
That's so bad.
And I think she's iconic. What's your thoughts on that?
Absolutely iconic. She's a very attractive lady and super iconic. She's doing great in her presenting, I think. She's just done a presenting out in America, hasn't she? In Fiji, doing Love Island Games and stuff. Yeah. So.
Which you did meet on and have a very brief encounter.
Yes, we did.
Is it awkward meeting, like doing shows like that when you're like faced with your exes sometimes?
No. I don't find any of that awkward, to be fair. Yeah, I always end things very civil and stuff. And truthfully, I ain't got enough time to be worried about stuff like that. The awkwardness of that. Where I'm civil. I haven't got time for like hostility. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. Hostility and stuff.
It's
kind
of one of those things like you're all on a show and like everyone goes in with different outlooks on life
it's
and stuff
not
like
real
that.
Life.
Like,
we are real people, but it's a unique scenario. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, 99% of people that go on there are going on there to boost their career. They're going on there for money. They're going on there for a brand deal. When they come off, if they find love, that's a bonus in a win situation. But most of the time it is for other reasons.
Are you still friends with anyone Yeah, from most your season
them,
or
yeah,
any other
most
Love
of
Islanders?
Them, yeah. I don't really hang out with that many of them. I don't really message that many of them now. We sort of went separate ways after. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to focus on my career and work as soon as I came out of it, because I had great opportunities come up whilst I was in there, and yeah. like had a panto signed ready to go after.
No, I
had
signed,
the greatest dancer.
I signed the greatest dancer before he'd even got off the TV like show for you.
Yeah, I had all these things and like I couldn't sign them because I wasn't
there. The greatest
there,
dancer,
so.
That was an amazing show, by
it
the
was
way.
Amazing.
Bring it
was They yeah. just right. The
why
problem
did,
was show was
go?
Unbelievable.
It was so good.
They just put too much money on it for the first two seasons,
right.
so it couldn't make the money back. And what they spent on them judges was unbelievable.
Was Cheryl Cole was one of them.
Todrick Hall, Cheryl Cole,
Matthew Morris.
From Glee.
From Glee.
Yeah.
And.
Whoever that was.
Was it OT?
Yeah.
OT. They paid them a lot. And I know from doing our tours how much an LED wall costs and from doing panto. The LED wall that they had was the biggest LED wall I've ever seen in my
and
life. That will have cost millions.
Honestly, that show was amazing.
What them judges were paid, unfortunately,
was also
must have screwed that show over.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a fantastic show.
Oh my God, the show was amazing.
That allowed
I was
dancers
gutted.
To just go out and perform.
And it
from
was.
All
and
ranges.
You know what? It really was a show which people loved to be a part of. All of the dancers that came on into the reception to see me, they were so happy, so excited to be there. And it was something new that they
you
could
the
all be
part.
A part of.
Because I remember it was the people walking in and you'd be like, hi.
Yeah,
like, I remember that.
Right. So that was my first like TV, proper TV gig after Love Island.
Yeah,
and the makeup artist, she's lovely. She's done loads of makeup for me. But. Let's say it was the first time working together. A little bit goes a long way on me. I think we caked me up with a little bit too much makeup on that. I look back at it and think, wow, you look plastic, Curtis.
We need to get a clip up of it. But that show was iconic. Like, I want a petition to bring that back and we'll just have to get maybe a slightly
show,
smaller
yeah.
LED wall. But like, it was really good. It
and
was really
the funniest
good.
Thing was when they came into the kind of the waiting room with you, they didn't notice you.
That was legit.
That was like when they saw Curtis, they're like, oh,
and
my
you literally
God,
just
like,
come out of Love Island, so it was you obviously quite a big face.
I'm not gonna lie, I had a rock star moment there.
Did
so so they brought all the
you got more of a
crazy, wasn't it? So they brought all the judges on stage, and the audience gave them a quick cheer and stuff. And then because I had just come off Love Island, literally like a week before, I walked on stage, and I've never heard a crowd go so wild. It was I felt like Beyonce. I'm not even. It was awesome. I was like taking a bow. I was like playing with the crowd. It was great.
That's when the other judges stood there outside, like
I know. Yeah.
Oh God.
And I was like. I'm not as famous as any of you, like, yeah.
Kurt's like, I just make coffee.
Yeah. Just a dancer that makes coffee, guys.
You've had some like crazy TV experiences, but one thing that was not on my bingo card ever for you two was appearing on Hollyoaks.
Yay! Proud GCSE acting over here.
I mean, if there's a job going and it's COVID, you know what? You've got to pay the bills, haven't you?
I just felt sorry for
them. Is that genuinely the reason?
Yeah, we were in COVID. We had no
work
or anything.
How do we legally leave the house?
Yeah,
Hollyoaks
is in Liverpool. I forget what's in Chester and Nibble.
That's off.
I feel
bad for all of the actors that have trained all their life and they struggle to get a job, and we managed to sneak that in. I do feel
was
bad
the part
for them all.
Written for you guys is what I want to know. Like, it was around dancing.
The
like,
irony was like our original. I don't know how they were, but they were literally trained in scripts as we went. But our original things was literally rather than being AJ, it was just like. PJ and Curtis was like,
oh, it was, wasn't
and
it?
I was like, wait, no, I think you've got to make the names a bit different. We may as well just call
like
me my
or own
name.
Like that.
Marco was my third take of names.
What was that, Jacob?
Jacob or something like that.
Jacob.
I mean, it was hilarious. And because we shouldn't laugh, but because it was the time of COVID, they were like walking around with sticks, poking us, so we had
to stay
away from them or stay away from them.
Is that why you were going on that little roundabout thing so far?
I'll never let him near a roundabout again. If we go near a park, he ain't allowed in.
And I was like, you've booked us because we're working in a bubble so we can be in the same household, but you're not letting us stand close together.
I didn't understand.
I know COVID sent a lot of people crazy, but you booked us to be together.
We came in the same car and everything, and then as soon as we get in there, they're like, no, you have to stand separately. We're in the same car.
That's mental.
It was crazy, that show, yeah.
Do you remember any of your lines?
Oh, yes. Kurt, go on.
House Trish.
That's it. Sorted. Yeah. But what's my... She thought
finally, what time do you call this?
Oh, that was it.
Yeah. Mum ain't going to be happy. Something like that.
My favourite one is probably stop whinging.
Probably stop whinging. Yeah, it's probably... I still say that now.
As he's spinning around on the merry-go-round.
Probably stop whinging. Yeah, honestly, too funny. But I actually love that you guys just laugh about it now. Like, it's, I think it is funny.
Kurtz went famous in India. Kurtz had over 100 million views for that in India. I was wow, this is amazing. How do we capitalise on this?
I've done that twice,
to be fair. Yeah. The biggest like viewed clip from Hollyoaks ever.
Hollyoaks yeah. were so happy.
Were they?
They were ecstatic.
And we've not been killed off, so we could come back.
Yeah. Technically, we're not dead. I'm probably still spinning.
That laugh is don't come back.
So hang on, wait. Are you guys going back on Hollyoaks?
Oh, Christ almighty. I don't know.
Yes.
Do you think they genuinely
No, I've got no idea. We'll probably never be
Kurt
asked
wants
back.
To go back. You definitely want to
go
back.
I would. Mm-hmm,
where do you see your characters going?
I don't know. In circles, by looks of it for me.
Taking Trish's little black book. We'll get
really?
It this time. That bugger got away with it.
Oh, honestly, so funny. But I do think that if you could look back on that time, would you still do it like do it all over again? Like all those kind of things?
Yeah. 1,000%. Yeah.
It is funny.
100%. I'd do it again. And I actually fell in love with acting after that. So I've actually had a load of acting lessons and stuff since then. So I'd like to think I'm a little bit better.
Hey, how did you train? Because was it literally just like you've got an acting job, you hadn't done much training, like went into Hollyoaks? So how did it go?
You've like, got an acting job, you've done no training.
Here's
there's a script. See you later.
Really?
That's not the script anymore.
Like, because I think me personally, I find learning lines really hard. Like, if you were to give me this and to like remember it, I just can't do it. Like, how do you even go about learning lines?
I did it by which. Regrettably, I did it like this. I did it by looking in the mirror and trying to make myself really angry and stuff. And then, because it was like an angry part of the word.
Yeah.
So I was trying to just say the lines like that. But what I should have done.
I don't think I've laughed this much on a podcast before.
Can you just picture me?
I can
me
just
in
picture
front
you doing
the
it.
Mirror,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Screaming at himself.
Finally. But what I should have done is actually try to say my lines and just keep reading them and say them in different emotions. So say I'm angry, say I'm happy, say I'm sad, mm-hmm. and say it like this. And then I would have just found a nice character and then played that. That's what I should have done in hindsight.
No, I think when it comes down to Hollyoaks, like we'd been given a script, for example, and then we'd arrive on day, the guy would be like, nope, here's a new script. He'd be like, okay, cool, well, we've learned that. But the answer to your question specifically is like, say when we do pantomimes, we choreograph the words. So like, I'll walk to this table, I'll say a line here, I'll walk over there, I'll say a line there. And then that makes it very easy to remember words.
And then it's kind of
it's
a bit like dancing
it's
as
a dance
well.
Yeah,
yeah. Rubbish. He's had the same script for 3 years.
I have on pantomime
now.
Yeah, I have to remember it now.
Honestly, I think, you know, when I said to people like that you guys were coming onto the podcast,
they said, don't bring them on.
No, it wasn't that. It was like, I was like, you know, AJ's been on Strictly and like Curtis has been on Love Island and stuff like that. And they were like, oh, are they the guys that have been on Hollyoaks? And they knew you from the meme.
Everyone knows us from that meme.
And I was like, they're not just the guys that have been on Hollyoaks.
It's funny you should say it because sometimes we do, people see us and they ask for a photo and sometimes it's like, why do you want a photo with us? Which TV show?
Yeah.
Like, because people have so many different opinions of us from
the
different
Hunted.
Shows.
Because
you
have done
a lot from
lot.
The Hunted as
Hunted
well,
Hunted and SAS. Like, SAS.
Mm,
and like,
SAS is
a cult audience.
Yeah,
like, they are like, oh my God, I love you on that show.
Yeah.
And like, is it real? And
is
the
it
way
real?
You do it. Oh, it is. Yeah, it's beyond.
What was your experience then? What, you said yes and no?
Yeah, but only because what the DSs do to you is real. What they put you through is real. But I would like to say producers don't talk to them behind closed doors and say, perhaps we want this person to stay or perhaps we want this person to go. But that does happen.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't say something you don't actually know. Is it just because I
won?
Is it because I won?
I've heard stories of people that perhaps were going to get booted
producers
out.
Producers messing
didn't.
With the show? That would never happen.
TV?
Never.
No.
Yeah.
What?
What was your experience, AJ?
No, I absolutely loved it. For me, like mentally, you kind of go into that show. It's more than just the physical side, it's the mental side. And it's what small story that's deep in you that you think, actually, I need to address this. And that's the one thing with that show. Like for me, mentally, I went through a traumatic accident and dealing with fire and being able to speak about it and emotionally do it in a TV show environment, I thought would never be the case.
Yeah.
And I didn't really ever think of it being a TV show. I never even looked at a camera once on that show. And usually I'd be like, okay, camera one, camera two, camera three. I know in my head it's there because I've been trained that way. And on that show, it was just about dealing with the situation that's at hand, physically and mentally getting through something and really ticking something off that allows you to kind of go back to the normal civilized world in a much better position mentally. Mm. And that show,
it's quite a wholesome
really
show. Like, it's quite like a journey that you go on. It's
you know who has it really hard in that show? The cameramen.
Really? Oh my God.
Because if you're saying everything we're doing, so if it's running, how are they filming? True. The cameraman's got to be running next year. They've got to be in the gas room. They've got to be in all of these areas.
The camera guys on that show were fantastic. Behind the scenes team on that were physically and mentally amazing. And the irony is when we do TV shows and productions, even on Strictly, like, it's not just you in that room. It's the people that make these TV shows, fantastic shows, are because the hard work that goes in from the behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And that's something that is, if it was its own show in reality, when I think about it now, of the behind the scenes of every show mashed up into one, you'd just be laughing ear to ear because
it'd be entertaining. Actually,
you would be like, you wouldn't believe it. Half the stuff that happens, you'd just be like, how's this happening?
It'll be jaw dropping as well. Some of the stuff you'd hear.
Edit quite a bit out.
You also done I'm a Celeb as well. That must be a whole experience in itself.
Did it in Wales, what are you on about? In I'm a Celeb.
Okay, I signed a contract to go to Australia and be nice and warm.
They had heaters in there.
And then they were like, it's happening in Wales.
It's like, it's in Wales. I was like, I know, it's 45 minutes from my house. I know where it is. Bloody freezing this time.
It kind of defeats the object of it, don't you think? It was You're not really in a jungle and having to survive.
It was really sad. I feel like I've done a different show than I'm a Celeb. I did a castle special, and I know that they created lots of fantastic things like Go Ape sort of style within the trees, but because of COVID and internally, a lot of people did get COVID on the crew side. Mm. So it meant physically, like, we couldn't get harnessed up. We couldn't do things that would allow us to make that show amazing in the UK. Mm. So it was a hard one, but I met friends for life, like Mo Farah. Like, I texted him the other day and I'll call him afterwards. Like,
does he help
like
you with your running?
He did actually give some tips in that, but I was like, Mo, you're just so quick. Like, Jesus Christ. Just keep going.
No, I need to get to this level before even doing them tips.
Yeah. But on them shows, it was a really good one just to talk to people, enjoy it. But it wasn't I'm a Celebrity as we love and know. And that was a bit sad. But at the end of the day, I had the opportunity to go and do a TV show at a time of COVID again when other people were stuck at home. So I was very appreciative of doing it.
Was it 2 years that it was in Wales?
Two years. And I did the first year.
It was trial and error.
Giovanna Fletcher. I believe that name's gone on my head now. But no, it was a fantastic
year. Was Vernon in your
Vernon, Opera Kay, Russell Watson. Yeah.
Your best friend who didn't wash the pots very well.
Shane Ritchie.
Yeah. Oh, I love Shane Ritchie. What was he like?
He was fine, yeah.
Shane's lovely.
The irony was a lot of people within that show got really ill. So it was kind of like, you kind of felt sorry for people for like 3 or 4 days. Were literally just like bed bound.
Do you reckon that was due to food and stuff, or
I think food. I think a lot of people weren't prepared for, like, once you cut out sugar and caffeine,
withdrawals,
you take a dive.
Did you lose weight and like everything on the show? Like,
I gained weight. I don't know how. I ate more rice than ever. I was like, what's that happening to me? With carbohydrates. I'm not running. I'm not dancing. I'm just eating rice consistently.
But makes all the other people really bad now, that sounds, AJ, because they're all complaining about losing weight, struggling.
I'd have loved to have lost a bit of weight, to be honest.
You actually did come out pretty much exactly the same. You did. And you know when you lot were all saying it's so cold, I'm pretty sure there was one night where you were all in your underwear,
like, for example,
walking around. How is it that cold that you're all in your underwear walking around?
For example, there's cushions on the ceiling here. We had small heaters so that it didn't get to hypothermic level. It was like -2, -3, -4 at that time of year. So we couldn't leave us in
That's
Wales.
That's still a heater.
Yeah.
We don't want to freeze to
You
death.
Had a heater?
No, they were like just small heaters.
So you had a heater in the castle?
Insurance purposes, we couldn't get hypothermia.
I'm a Celeb.
Yeah, I can't get around this, can I?
You did say you had a small heater.
Yeah.
I thought you have to build your own fires. I thought that was the point of it.
Welcome to
stay
TV.
Warm.
There was a lot of features on this one that was like kind of...
It was trial and error. It was a first one. It was a new country, new place for them.
It was like throwing some logs
at
us.
What were the views
like?
Did it get good views?
Oh, insane. I think we nearly had like 15 million viewers a night.
It did do good, actually.
Well, you sat at home during COVID.
Yeah,
you can't go out.
Everyone literally had to watch it.
The TV. I was like, this is amazing.
I'll be honest, I watched that season. I didn't watch the next one that was in the castle.
Because you could go out.
Yeah, probably. One of the things we really wanted to chat about on the podcast as well is that, like, you guys, obviously you've done a lot of dancing. You've also been on TV a lot. And like we alluded to at the beginning that like people do care about what they look like on TV quite a lot of the time. We've had previous guests who are very concerned about, you know, how they appear on like even on the podcast and stuff like that. Is that something that impacts you a lot from having been on shows that a lot are about appearance and things like that?
I got body shamed and fat shamed by most of the press when I was on Love Island because I was the fat
one. You did get a Weight Watchers campaign afterwards.
I know. Yes, I did. Thank you, Weight Watchers. Actually, it's WW now. Okay. WW Reimagined. Yeah. Not that I am sponsored by them
anymore.
Did
that have an impact on you then?
No, not really, because I got a great contract after it. So actually, thank you for, I would always say thanks for the papers for doing that because it allowed me to buy a place in London. So it,
oh my God, like a really big contract.
It wasn't too bad. I can't complain. So yeah, it was so nice.
I mean, like, it's one of those
things. It's a hard one. I think when you work within our industry, the dance industry, to start off with, you're always going to be like, okay, very tight outfits and physically, like, you've got to be strong to do that lifts and sort of that side thing. But I think it's really hard in this day and age that you do, social media expands that so much more. Mm-hmm. You do take care of yourself for both purposes. But for me, I always tie it in together. Like, physically, if I feel fit and look good, like, mentally, I feel good. But that's not, I don't see that as a negative thing. I think that's a positive thing, mm-hmm. but that's my own personal opinion. And I've seen it happen to a lot of people that it doesn't go that way. It can turn very negative very quickly. Mm-hmm. But I always think like, well, you know, deep down, if you're happy with yourself, whether somebody would say something or wouldn't say something. And I think like you may say that's a bit brutal, but how I feel personally.
How I look at the press for me is if it's like weight, for me, if they said something about my weight,
if it's derogatory,
I'm not actually going to be bothered because I can do something about that. Mm. If they said something about me that I actually can't really do anything about, then maybe I'll be a bit like, you savage. A little
bit. But do you feel like you have to do something about it? Like if someone says something about you, like weight related, for example, like, because I think a lot of people like in the public eye will be like, you know, I've got, you know, if people do get like shamed because of like what they look like and their size and stuff like that, like there shouldn't be a pressure, right? Like, is it not an overwhelming thing for the industry?
I always say you should be healthy. So if you are taking yourself down a track which is becoming unhealthy, then perhaps maybe you should do something or have a little look at some things just because it's going to have real effects on yourself mentally, physically, and all of these things.
It does make sense. Talk to me about the ups and downs of the entertainment industry then, because you guys have a very long list and resume, like CV, like you've done the lot, but there's so many highs within that, but there's also a lot of lows. Like, talk to me about some of the harder parts.
I think... The entertainment industry is so roller coaster from ups and downs. And I think that I'll say my point of view first, Curtis. It's you don't know when you're going to get the next job. And I think the hardest thing is preparing for something that you can't prepare for. So you could get a big contract and that could pay you well. And you're working for 6 months' time or even shorter or maybe longer, whatever that may be. But you can't guarantee that every single year, even to the point of Strictly. Within multiple years on Strictly, and I only did it for 4 years, I didn't know if I got a job the day before I started.
Really?
And how can a company like the BBC think that that's an okay thing to do? Maybe for somebody that's young with mental health, financially, you have to live in London, and living in London is not easy at the best of times. So I think for me, within the industry itself, of kind of, you have to kind of work out what works for you mentally. How can you be in a confident position? And I think for me, my thing's always been finances. If I know financially I'm in a secure situation, I'm not going to stress. If I'm not, say, specifically working and earning money for 6 to 8 months, but I'm working and growing myself as a person, and I'm working on businesses behind the scenes that I will never talk about, that's allowing me to do that. So I think the rollercoaster of our industry is about kind of thinking, not living at the height of when everything's great. It's about, can you control living at the lows when everything is not good? And I think this sort of impact through press and social media, everybody always posts the highs and they show the strengths and the great things of what you do, but nobody ever posts the kind of like when you're quiet. Like mine was like, well, why would you leave Strictly or why would you do this? I am in the best position in my life ever, physically, mentally, business-wise, in every single aspect, because I prepared for that the day that I got my first paycheck on Strictly. First thing I did was like, okay, I'm going to invest it. I'm going to be smart. I'm going to understand how much tax I got to pay. I'm not going to pay £40,000 tax to the government on doing this. You know what? I'll put in a SIP pension because I don't want to give it to government. I'll save it for myself later. Mm-hmm. It's not tied away. I can use that to buy a limited company or a business property. Or there's so many ways to do it. Like, but I made sure that I prepare 5-10 years in advance. I never think tomorrow. I always think 10 years. So therefore I can be relaxed. And our industry is not that way. It's about now. Yeah. What's happening? Who's good right now? And I think that's when you have to flip it on the head. It's always about long term. Yes, I want to live and enjoy life. Now, I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying, just take a step back and think. And sometimes life can be so fast paced that nobody ever just has a second goes, okay, well, maybe at university now working on something, but you can't guarantee that's going to get you a job here. Like, think long term.
Who taught you this mindset though?
I've always been very OCD and very kind of like, if I'm going to train to be number one in the world, you can't, that's not an overnight thing. Like, you have to understand that working hard for something is a long game. And it's always about put all them small things in each day, that compounding interest of like maybe getting stronger, getting fitter, learning something to do with something you don't know, whatever that may be, that allows you to be a better person, a more well-rounded person. And I think that's kind of the thing that we've been through in our lives. We've been through so many highs, but we've also been through so many lows, losing people suddenly from like being at school, leukemia takes somebody and then somebody has a freak accident. That's like within 1 year of our life, our sponsor passes away within a week of speaking to her, like dancing. That was why I did Strictly. Like, things that happen that you can never prepare for, freak accidents. Like, you have to kind of think, like, life's very short, but life can be long. So why can I make a decision now that everything's, oh, I'm living now, I'm going to spend all my money, I'm going to do this. But that's going to screw you over for the rest of your life if you're not sensible.
And you have to find a happy medium with that. You have to enjoy yourself.
Do you agree?
I agree with everything KJ's saying. Absolutely. I'd say some of the other side of things with putting yourself in the public eye and going on TV is the press can write anything that's been wrote down, whether it's true or false. And by that, I mean, let's say somebody from a fake account on Twitter or something like that writes just a random fake, completely made up message or lie that said, let's just say, oh, Curtis is dancing with somebody else or doing something. The press can then run that story and create a full story out of it, even though, and quote it and everything, and then create something. That's all fake. So that side of things is annoying and can be very hard when you open yourself up into public eye. But then it comes down to what support network do you have around you? Very close to my family, got great friends from childhood, always kept them as my friends. And I would always talk to people like that. And so really it doesn't get to me at all. They're just thick skin. And I think that comes from what AJ was saying, the competitive background, you know, resilience, not always winning the competitions in the first days. You've got to get back on the horse. You've got to get back doing it. Work forward, work forward, work forward. Then eventually you can win something and then you can get them end goals, which everybody sees in this day-to-day age now on social media. They don't realize you have to work your bollocks off, your socks off to get there, really.
But I think, like, kind of, I always think life has been a game. And I know this works for me personally. I'm like, well, it's one big game. Well, just play the game, understand it. Like, you don't have to do everything the way it is. It's a game. Work out how it's going to benefit you. What do you want? Like, say we're setting this company up right now, like how can you, okay, the government has grants, well, how can we work out to get a grant to maybe better suit this or claim this equipment back, like whatever it may be. Just find out what game you're playing and be the best at it, because everybody can succeed. And I think this is a UK mentality that we've always struggled with. Like, in the UK it's like, well, if I'm going to help you, what are you getting from it? Well, what am I getting for it? Like, in our dancing, I was like, no, we're both going to improve. We're going to train together. Whereas we would always compete with America, Canada, Russia, Ukraine, like all these Eastern Bloc countries. They would always work together because they know that together they're so much stronger. Like, we all succeed. We don't just like, you can't do one business on your own. You have to have a team around you. It's impossible. There's only so much time in the day. And plus, like, you have to tell yourself, well, I'm smart at this, I know this, but I don't know that. But the only way I'll know it is if I bring somebody on board and we can work together. And I think that's one thing that we've definitely learned over the past couple of years. Like, you can't do everything yourself. Like, you've got to open up.
Well, we always ask our guests on the podcast, because I think this is this idea that, like, everyone in their 20s, they're all working through something. Like, everyone is, we see, like you've just mentioned so many times, like, we see the best bits on social media, but we don't see behind the scenes. And like, we know that nobody's perfect. Everybody's usually working on getting better at something. For you guys, what are you both working on getting better at this moment in time?
Mine, I'd say, is always mental health. constantly that, but it's doing things like what AJ said, fitness, doing things I enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. So I always try and make sure I'm doing things like that. That's mm-hmm. something that I think will always be constantly something I just do for the rest of my life. But I'm going to say fitness is definitely one of my things that I want to get back into. I've had a couple of injuries in my life, and I'm really wanting to actually focus on recovering my hip, my knees. Like I said before, I've had a couple of operations, no cartilage in my left knee. I want to get my body back to a good physical strength. Mm-hmm. So I don't mean like losing fat or anything. I just mean build muscle and build all of the small muscles around my joints and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's something I'm really working on.
He's working for the half marathon for next year.
Well, it is.
It's because I've realised I'm 28 years old now, and I used to dance every single day and I was so, so fit, and it really does make you so fit. And then now that I've got older, doing TV work and this and that, sometimes I haven't done exercise for a long period of time. And I'll tell you, I notice it. Mm. And I'm not saying I'm old, but like a hangover, for example, takes longer to recover now. If I do a run, it takes a couple more days to recover. Yeah. No, but I notice it unless I keep here, doing things. Like, so that's one of my goals.
There's one more thing.
Oh yeah, go on. Finance as well. This is the biggest thing, actually. I should have just said this before. I've always not been amazing with finance. AJ's been great with it.
Well, I think Kurt's understating how bad.
Oh God, I mean, it's
how
not
bad,
Curtis,
are we talking?
Bad. I just, money's money, you know, it grows on trees, doesn't it?
So AJ's mindset about like thinking ahead and planning ahead, you don't share that mindset?
I think ahead and stuff. Yeah. Do I plan ahead? That's a different scenario. Okay. I plan ahead in certain situations. When it's come to money, I just have not been amazing with it. I've just not looked after it, truthfully. And I would say it's because I was never educated in that way and stuff and didn't realise. And I say this to a lot of people, you don't realize what you actually spend and what you spend things on. And then after a long period of time, and once I was lucky enough to go on Love Island, come into a little bit more money, you start buying more things, and then your natural just living expenses become more, and you get a mortgage, and then you realize you're having to pay thousands of pounds a month on top of all of the other stuff. Mm-hmm. And it just adds up. And before you know it, money doesn't last. So now something I'm doing is writing down my spending every single day and getting on top of my finances. And I'll tell you what, for my mental health, for everything, it's made a massive difference. Mm-hmm. I feel so much more in control of my life because I know what I'm spending. I know what I have left to spend, and I know what I can do with my money. And because I know all of that, I know, oh, actually, I can go on holiday there, or I can invest there, or I can or I can't buy that. And what's quite nice about that is as well, actually, it's making me have to save up and work for things again to be able to then buy them and stuff now, which is actually making me appreciate objects again.
Yeah. Because you're working on something financy together, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we are launching Fint Invest. So Fint, fundamentally the heart of Fint, it's education. It is an investment app at the end of the day, but it's about educating people to really understand their finances and really just kind of plan for the future. The opportunity is that we want people to start young because that compounding interest you can get if we start within Fint, there's three portfolios. You do some risk profile, so you're going to get a low, medium or high.
Mm. Esports, climate change, disruptive technology.
Yeah, then they are the three portfolios. You do a direct debit of £50 a month. So we are offering
up to whatever you want.
Okay. Yeah. So we are offering fundamentally what would usually be aimed towards a high net worth person. So if you were kind of a high net worth person, you'd need about £250,000 to invest within this sort of software that trades and moves your money around and creates more money for you. It works for you. We are leveraging that software and allowing you to do that and use the exact same software with discretionary managed money. So fundamentally, it means that your money can be moved around by a fund manager. And we offer that from £50 a month. So we want to kind of offer it, open the door. And at the end of the day, it's just the education. Mm. Like, just start early, regular saving. And that is the best way that you can have the opportunity if in 10 years you want a deposit for a house, if you come from 18 to 28, or you want to have that retirement when you're much older, like whatever it may be. If you don't start something, you're never going to do
it. It's that education we want to teach people. Because like he just said, like most people, when they're 28 years old, they want to leave home. And a lot of people, unfortunately, don't have the money for that deposit. If you can just start putting somewhat away from the age of 18 years old, from compounding interest, by the time you're 28, that's 10 years of investing. You've got your deposit there and your extra bit of change as well for whatever bills come
up. Why do you think we're not taught this stuff in school?
Because I would say...
what's our personal opinion?
I think it's because the government don't want and the banks don't want us to know about this. So therefore, we're still always connected to them and we can't have the freedom of ourselves. Mm. In a way.
No, I think on one side, yes, I do agree with Kurt. being...
I think times are changing slightly, but I do think that is sort of...
Times are definitely changing, and I think social media has helped that. But at the end of the day, like, school system is so slow, it's so archaic in the way it's doing. To invest and to create a new curriculum would probably cost too much time, too much money, and the people that are in power, well, we'll leave that to the next generation to deal with that problem personally. So for us, we just want to create that kind of curriculum education for free. We don't care. Like, go out there, learn it. Because I know that for us, the one thing that we've always been kind of grilled up on of our mum has always been, if you've got a platform, do something good with it. Like, we always help charities. Sometimes we shout about it, sometimes we don't shout about it. But at the end of the time, like, we want to use our platforms to help other people. And everything costs something these days. And it's so much more prolific in the press now. Inflation this, or have you got a rise in your kind of your wage, whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, like, what are you doing with the money to make it grow for you? And that's the one thing for us. Like, it's a very simple app. It's very direct. We can show you what you would have, like, we're very proud, like, on one of our portfolios, a medium risk, through backdated the past 3 months, we would have given you a 7% return on your money. Like, we're so proud of that. So when we do launch, like, I'm not sure when this goes out, like now or in the next week, like, That information, knowing how proud we are. And the one thing is about mitigating risk, reducing the risk of what we do. Seeing the excitement of people actively doing meme stocks and cryptocurrency. The excitement to actually invest was fantastic. But it was really sad seeing how, like, Terra Luna, these cryptocurrencies, led directly to suicide. It was linked hand in hand together. Yes, maybe doing 5%. 10% into that, but done the rest of your money into something that is more sustainable and got longevity and has got history of showing that we've used this software for the past 10 years. My money since I've invested from strictly my first paycheck is in this software.
And my money as well.
Let's take a quick pause for a second. If you're an OG listener of the podcast, you'll know I haven't always had the easiest ride with my mental health in my 20s. Our newest paid partner, BetterHelp, which gives you access to online therapists, is something that's helped me immensely. With BetterHelp, you can have your therapy sessions as a phone call, a video chat, or even via messaging if you prefer that. Whatever is the most comfortable version of therapy for you. To get started, you fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you'll get matched with a therapist, in most cases within 48 hours or less. You'll then be able to schedule therapy sessions at a time that's convenient for you. Click the link in the description or visit betterhelp.com/talk20s, and that link will also get you 10% off your first month too.
Why not, like, do it and help other people? So we're proud of it. It's been, and our business partner Wes Wilkes, who is a wealth manager, like ourselves, me and Kurz, we're PR, we're marketing, we're the side of it, we're the energy.
Because it is
a
random side move, like, for you guys, isn't it? It's probably not what people are expecting for you
guys. No, I think the one thing...
But it's so current. This is a thing, though. It is current, and people need educating because nobody's getting taught stuff. People are getting themselves in bad situations. Men's mental health, it's one of the biggest key things to it, is finances for men and linked to suicide. Like, things need to start changing.
And in our industry, it's always like, do the job, get an agent, hopefully get paid in the end. And when I say hopefully get paid in the end, there's multiple things that won't be reported and shown. That person at the end, you can go onto Reddit boards and things like that, especially in the UK, they don't get paid at the end. HMRC will take the tax from the person in the middle that stole the money, but the person at the end doesn't see that. And we see this time and time again. Well, if there was a bumper there of being like, actually, no, I want to see that contract. I want to know how much you're taking, and I want to see how much I'm getting at the end, like, and I want to be on top of it. If that was more forefront, people would be in a better situation.
Do you think we should be talking about money more as a generation?
Money should always be talked about throughout everything. And I think only it's because something that our generations don't
it.
Do.
How to use it properly, because you can get money come to you, you can get lump sums come to
earning
you.
Money and managing money
are two
very different things.
Mm-hmm. Because unless you can manage it properly and make money work for you, well, that money will disappear. Mm-hmm. End off. And then you will be in a bad situation. And that's just blunt, straight to the fact.
It's been amazing to chat to you all about your careers. And it's also really interesting to hear, like, your passion behind what you're doing with the finance side of things. Like, I think you're right. Like, we talk about it a lot on the podcast. Like, we're just not given this foundation for money, which means that so many people in our community through Talk 20s and stuff are saying, like, I need help with my money. I've not learned about it. And I think it's nice to really see people who are in the public eye going, this is how I manage my money. Like, being open and being transparent and literally talking about it.
That loud budgeting, I think, is so good.
Exactly. It's just really it's really nice to see. So I love that you guys are championing that, and I keep continuing to do so because I think a lot of people will appreciate the transparency, and I think it will do a lot of good for a lot of people. So keep that up.
Hopefully. Like, yeah, hopefully.
It definitely will. That's the aim. But we always end the podcast by asking the same question that we ask all of our guests. And if you could look back to 20-year-old AJ or 20-year-old Curtis and give them just one piece of advice, what would you want to say to them?
Mine would be, you're a lot younger than you realize still. So you're not too old to change your career, to go into something new, and to fully throw yourself into it. 20 is still very young. Mm-hmm. But I felt like an old man at that point. I thought, this is it. Whatever I'm doing with my career is my career. I can't change and I can't do anything. Mm. For example, I would have perhaps gone to boxing or something. Anthony Joshua, I think at 19 years old, that's when he started boxing. He's a world champion. Mm. So, you know, at that age,
it's very true.
You're not old. You're still young.
What would you say, AJ? Can you top that?
What are you going to say now, AJ?
No, I think for me, it's always just about the same. I wouldn't change anything. I honestly wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I would just be like, take every single opportunity, because that's all we continue to do and all I ever continue to do. Is like, if you can go and do that dinner or introduce yourself to somebody else, do it.
Yeah.
Just do it, because you never know who you're going to meet. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing with doing these podcasts. Like, mm-hmm. It's so nice because you're like, okay, now it sparks a new thought process. You never know what's going to happen.
Put yourself in the room with amazing and wild people.
Yeah.
Do it and put out your comfort zone.
I did say when we were walking to the studio here today, I was like, when I started this podcast in 2020, you were probably on Strictly and you were just about to come onto Love Island.
Yeah.
I don't think I had on my like plans that I would ever have you guys sit on my sofa, but it's been really nice to chat to you. Honestly, like one of my favorite podcasts today. I've laughed so much, but we've also learned something as well.
Thank you so much, because I followed your journey for so many years now and messaging you and being like, okay, we would love to come on and talk about it. And it feels like the right time. Like we've absolutely loved it and congratulations on the festival and everything. Yeah. And we're excited for this year and hopefully we're free and we'd love to come to that as well.
Yeah,
it's been brilliant.
Thank you so much.